I hope any of the Lord's people do not think that my dear brother can't be right time again.
Special permission, dispensation,
he'll free go on. And the Lord enabled and helped, because after all, I'll be with you another 4 nights. Good to be with you, brother, and we appreciate your ministry very much. Shall we turn to the book of Revelation, please, the last book of the Bible? I'll do my best in 30 minutes to communicate my exercise. A little boy once heard a new preacher, and he was asked what he thought of the new preacher. Well, he said, he preaches so long, I just can't stay awake. He preaches so loud, I can't go to sleep. So the moral is, don't preach too loud and too long. We'll do our best. The book of Revelation, chapter 5, first of all. And verse 12. Saying with a loud voice, worthy is the Lamb that was slain to receive power and riches and wisdom and strength and honor and glory and blessing. Chapter 6. Verse 15, and the kings of the earth, and the great men, and the rich men, and the chief captains, and the mighty men, and every bondman, and every free man, hid themselves in the dens and in the rocks of the mountains, and said to the mountains and rocks, fall on us, and hide us from the face of him that sitteth on the throne, and from the wrath of the Lamb. Chapter 7, verse 17. Perhaps verse 16 for connection. They shall hunger no more, neither thirst any more. Neither shall the sun light on them, nor any heat. For the Lamb, which is in the midst of the throne, shall feed them, and shall lead them unto living fountains of water. And God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes. Chapter 14, please. And verse 4. Speaking about the 144,000, the remnant. These are they which were not defiled with women, for they are virgins. These are they which follow the Lamb, whithersoever he goeth. These were redeemed from among men, being the first fruits unto God and to the Lamb. One more chapter, chapter 17. And verse 14. These shall make war with the Lamb, and the Lamb shall overcome them. For he is Lord of lords and King of kings. And they that are with him are called and chosen and faithful. Now I'm sure the Lord will bless his word. 28 or 29 times in the book of Revelation, we have this title of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Lamb. The Lamb of God. How interesting this is. The word that is used is of a young lamb. That would underline for me that even in heaven and forever, the Lord Jesus Christ will be as a freshly slain lamb. This is lovely. So, as I think of this, I think of the burnt offering altar in Numbers chapter 4, and it's the only vessel in that chapter that we read it had to be covered with purple. The burnt offering altar would speak to us of the sufferings of the Lord Jesus, of his crucifixion. Purple is the kingly color, the royal color. Lovely to think of the sufferings of Christ and the glory to follow. Lovely to think that the one who was in shame down here, the one who was crucified, the one who suffered, is now triumphant, is now exalted, is now glorified. And we see in the book of Revelation that the Lamb is the center of heaven, that the Lamb is the music of heaven, that the Lamb is the theme of heaven's song, that the Lamb is the very melody of heaven. Again and again, we see in the book of Revelation many references to the Lord Jesus as the Lamb. Now, it's my little exercise this afternoon to draw attention to a number of very, very interesting things, because when we think of a lamb, let's be simple now. When we think of a lamb, well, we think of meekness. Or we think of lowliness. We think of littleness. When we think of the idea of a lamb, we're going to see from the Word of God in the book of Revelation that the things that are mentioned in connection with the Lord Jesus as a lamb are completely opposite to what we would normally expect. In chapter 5 and verse number 12, it's not the lamb feeble, but it's the lamb mighty, the lamb strong. In chapter 5, we have the new song, a song which God himself has composed, a song which God himself has arranged. The hosts of heaven have to stand aside. The angels are silent. Only those who are redeemed from the earth, only the church can sing this wonderful new song unto the Lamb. And did you notice in verse number 12 what is ascribed to our Lord Jesus as the Lamb? Worthy is the Lamb that was slain to receive power and riches and wisdom and strength and honor and glory and blessing. I only highlight the two words here, might and strength. Do we usually associate might, power, and strength? Is that the picture that is conjured up in our minds when we think of a little lamb? Ah, but you see, this is the Lord Jesus. This is the last book in the Bible, the book of Revelation. This is bringing before us features that are unique to the Lord Jesus. This is bringing before us the glory, the excellency, the triumph, the power, the majesty, the grandeur of the Lamb. So in chapter 5 and verse number 12, how wonderful it is to look forward to that wonderful time when we will be in heaven and join, as it were, that white-robed choir, and our tongues, we might say, will help to swell heaven's anthem and ascription of praise to the Lord Jesus. So in this scene of heaven, in chapter 5, it's not the Lamb feeble, it's the Lamb mighty and strong. When you come to chapter 6 and verse number 16, a very terrible, a very serious, a dreadful scene indeed. It's not the Lamb feeble, but it's the Lamb wrathful. Here we have a very terrible moment. Here we have men of the earth from all rank and file crying to the mountains and to the rocks to hide them, if you please, from the wrath of the Lamb. How strange, fellow believer. How strange. Scripture doesn't stop to explain. The natural mind would tend to be quick to ask questions. Have you ever thought of anyone hiding from a lamb?
But this is the Lord Jesus. This is the Lord Jesus.
And he's not only in the book of Revelation, beloved. How good to share these things with you. The Lamb feeble but mighty. And he here in chapter 6 and verse 16 is not the Lamb feeble, but the Lamb wrathful. Great, isn't it, to be saved from the wrath of the Lamb? Awful to think of this scene on the earth, when the one who was so meek and so lowly and despised and downtrodden and became a worm and no man. Incredible to think that the Lord Jesus
In Psalm 22, he compares himself with the smallest of his creatures, a little worm. Yet here we see him as a lamb in power and majesty and glory and wrath. He will come to assert his power. He will come down the golden stairway of the sky in all his majesty and glory and wrath to scatter the enemy, to conquer, to convert the nation, and to control in his millennial kingdom all the world.
Why is he going to come back to the earth? He's coming back to the earth for a threefold purpose. To conquer, to convert, and to control. Not the lamb, feeble but mighty. Very seductive, doesn't it? I've enjoyed looking at these things. I haven't fully developed it yet. Maybe I'm making Lossie Mouth and Lord the afternoon a bit of an experimental workshop to see how the thing goes. I think it can be developed.
Not the lamb, feeble but mighty. Not the lamb, fearful but wrathful. You see, when we think of a lamb,
I don't need to explain this to you, do I? I really tell you.
A lamb can be rather silly. And certainly fearful. But you would never think for a moment of associating with a lamb, the creature of a little lamb. Wrath! It's incredible that in the picture of Revelation chapter 6, in the solemn scene, the Spirit of God tells the people who will cry to the rocks to hide them from the wrath of the lamb.
But everything in connection with Christ is incredible. Everything is different about him. Everything is unique about him.
Everything is a contrast with heaven, for such is his power and glory and splendor and might.
Know this lamb in the book of Revelation is not the lamb feeble but mighty. He's not the lamb fearful but wrathful.
Chapter 7 and verse number 17. Here's a thought. He's not the lamb fed.
He's the lamb feeding. Have you heard about a lamb like that?
Again, the picture's in our minds, a lamb being fed. A lamb that is dependent upon its mother, sustained by its mother.
I was down in the dales of Yorkshire quite recently, and the lambs came early down there. It was lovely to see them, you know, jumping about. So energetic. Springtime.
A lovely sight. I love to see the little lambs kicking about the field.
And yet they're not slow to go for the milk.
Not the lamb, say,
but the lamb.
None of a lamb like that. This lamb, the Lord Jesus Christ, he will lead and he will feed. Isn't that lovely?
Oh, I'm not into the details of the significance of who the company are. I do believe it will be true. Ultimately, and finally, in eternity, when time is no more, of all believers, of the church too,
that we will be continually fed by the Lord Jesus in heaven. Continually sustained by him. Fed by him. Now, I may disappoint you, but there are none of your favorite dishes in heaven.
There's Yorkshire pudding in the time, my love.
It's good, and I do, too.
Well, there'll be none of that in heaven. And all these lovely sweets and desserts, and favorite dishes, and so on. Sometimes us preachers, too, would like to have two stomachs. We really get set up of the same, in the right word, in the right way, set up of the same. The table bountifully spread, and we thank God for the great generosity and kindness of the Lord.
You know what it tells me in 1 Corinthians 6, verse 13? Here's a verse to think about. Will we need food in heaven? Have we had it now? Have we need it now, will we?
No. God says,
meat for the belly, and the belly for meat.
But God will destroy both it and that.
I'm not trying to be clever, but I wonder whether the glorified body will not have a son in the sense that we have it now. We'll not need it.
Hard to imagine. Not sitting down for our favorite dishes, isn't it?
Hard to imagine the food that we saw some live to eat and some eat to live. Food isn't everything. We may think it is. It's hard to keep down the weight for the preachers.
I'm not one for jogging. I think I'd be just I'd lose that after not even 500 yards. But
isn't it wonderful to think of the Lord Jesus? We're continually to sing that we have. He'll continually feed us. We will not need in the glory the food of earth. We'll not need to be fed in the same way.
Christ will be the food of his people.
Christ will be the delight of his people. The Lord says in verse number 17, look at it again. For the Lamb which is in the midst of the throne shall feed them and shall lead them unto living fountains of waters, and God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes. And the Bible tells me in the book of Revelation chapter 21, there will be no more sea. Now you fishermen, whether you like it or not, you'll have to just take that as the word of God.
I love the sea.
The poet has said, right off, silvery breath, seldom is at rest. Well, that's true. The various moods of the sea. And where was John when he wrote those words? On the Isle of Patmos. He must have listened to the music of the sea and seen the majesty of the sea. The very moods of the sea. Cut off from his brethren. Separated from them. Seas of speaks of separation as well as mystery and disturbance and lawlessness. But thank God there'll be no separation in the heaven. In heaven, in the glory. There'll be no disturbance. There'll be no mystery in that sense. Will there? Thank God that'll all be passed.
But I seem to think, you know, brothers and sisters, that would pull me out, wouldn't it? As a hurricane, I seem to think that while there'll be no sea, does that mean there'll be no lakes in eternity? Does that mean there'll be no fountains or rivers in eternity?
I think there will, you know. You think about that.
It'll be a wonderful thing to be in heaven, won't it? And time is no more, and to be forever with our Lord Jesus.
Forever you say. Do you mean
thousands and 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 thousands metal crowns on our heads, and it's going to be blissful laziness and inactivity for years and years and years and years.
That's great, is it? Is that your impression of heaven? Doing nothing?
Being marked by inactivity? Well, you know, the Bible tells us in this very book, his servant shall serve him. We're going to serve the Lord. I don't ask me to try to tell you what kind of service it's going to be. I don't know. But I'm sure of one thing, that my service down here is going to prepare me for service up there. How I serve him down here will determine the kind of service I will have up there. There's going to be that in heaven which will reflect how I've lived down here.
I tell you that, sir. I don't
make
you live better.
But he's not the lamb, is he? He's not the lamb, feeble but mighty. He's not the lamb, fearful but wrathful. And he's not the lamb, fed but feeding. He leads and he feeds. And not only will he do that, it says God shall remove every tear from the eye. Not from the cheek, but from the eye. And the book of Revelation chapter 21 tells us God himself will do it. So we're traveling to a place where tears are never shed. My good brother said, make the most of the ache you have now. Paul said to the Corinthians in 1 Corinthians chapter 7, he said, that all that have wives, they as though they had none, so make the most of it. You sleep at night. You give her flowers and chocolate, whatever, on the birthday or whatever it is.
I know of nothing greater as an incentive to help married life and love one another better and keep together and stay together and help one another and support each other. Care for each other more.
And living in the light of this fact, when the Lord comes, the sweetest pie on earth. I not know my wife as my wife in heaven, though I will know her. You will not know your husband in heaven in that relationship. But that will see.
It's a very sacred institution. It's a very sweet relationship.
We'll cover the word of every day.
You love each other. You're the best for each other.
Help each other. Pray together.
Remember that this wonderful, sweet relationship and God bringing you together
will cease one day. He says, time is short. 1 Corinthians 7:29. Time is short. Let those that have wives be as though they had none. Is he saying, you know, marriage isn't important?
Don't worry about marriage. No.
Because he goes on to say, doesn't he? Let those that weep be as though they wept none.
Is he saying, well, no Christian should cry?
No.
Very likely, you know, that Paul shed quite a number of tears. There are 3 references in the New Testament to the tears that Paul shed. He shed many of tears.
But you see, he's really telling the Corinthians, in the light of the Lord coming, time is short. He says, the tears that you may have shed could be the very last tears you've ever, ever wept.
For the Lord is coming.
He's not the Lamb. Feeble but mighty. Is not the lamb fearful but wrathful. Is not the lamb fed but feeding. Now come to chapter 14 and verse 14. We've got 7 minutes, I think.
Chapter 14 and verse number 14. He's not the lamb, notice, he's not the lamb following, but he's the lamb followed. Isn't that good?
All we like sheep have gone astray.
Seems to be the disposition, the nature, the tendency of a sheep or a lamb blindly to follow.
That is such a
position. Often that's the case. If you watch them, they can be rather foolish and stupid at times.
When I think of a lamb, I don't think of a lamb so much followed.
And here it's not the lamb following, but it's the lamb followed. It says here, of a company here, the 144,000, I just underline this, there isn't time for more. We have characteristics of the remnant in this future time. They are virgins, that's their conduct, they're pure. And then it says, these are they which follow the lamb whithersoever he goeth. Now do not forget, in the time of the tribulation, most of the population of the world will be following
the Antichrist.
They will have his number on their forehead and on their hands. They will be bowed down to and devoted of the Antichrist and his terrible, false, wicked system.
But there'll be a few who will follow the Lamb whithersoever he goeth.
Not the lamb following, but the lamb following. Tell me, beloved, are you following the Lord Jesus? This reminds me beautifully of Peter's ministry. 1 Peter 2:21. He left us an example that we should follow his steps.
Are you following his steps?
Are you devoted to Christ? Are you consecrated to Christ? Tell me. Have you been baptized, young believer? Have you been received into assembly fellowship? Have you obeyed the command to remember the Lord Jesus? What a privilege it was to do that this morning. And we should do it out of love, but we must never forget it.
The command that must be obeyed.
This do
for remembrance of me. Have you followed the Lord?
Devotedly, obediently, sacrificially perhaps. Are you, can you be described, can I be described as a true follower of the Lamb?
Friend of mine said he had a preacher friend that was knocking on the door, giving out tracts. And he met a lady, rather nice lady. He said to her, "Are you a Christian?" She said, "Am I a Christian?" "Why," she said, "I love the Lord. I love the Lord." And then he said, "Do you really love the Lord?"
"Oh, I love the Lord so much I could go through fire and water for him."
He says, "Have you been baptized?"
"No."
"I'd rather water first," he said. "Rather water first."
"Oh, it's easy to talk like that, isn't it? I love the Lord. I go through fire and water for him. Well, will we? Have you been through the waters of baptism? Are you a follower of the Lamb?"
But faithful people either. In a terrible time, you think the days in which we live are bad, and they are. They'd be 100 times worse in the tribulation. And there'll be noted people. Many of them will suffer martyrdom.
Certainly many of them will suffer. But they'll be happy and they'll be glad out of love to Christ.
If you have followed the Lamb, you can gather up these things at this time.
"Not the Lamb feeble but mighty. Not the Lamb fearful but wrathful. Not the Lamb fed but feeding. Not the Lamb following but followed." Now the last one, chapter 17. "Not the Lamb fallen, not the Lamb fallen, but the Lamb victorious." Chapter 17 and verse 14. Here again we have an idea and a picture presented by the Word of God here in the book of Revelation about the Lord as the Lamb. That's so very, very different to what we think of and what we associate with the idea of a Lamb. What does it say? Well, I believe this is the second advent. I believe verse 14 of chapter 17 really is anticipating the second half of that vision of Revelation 19 that brings before us the Lord coming on the white horse in fury and wrath and glory to scatter Israel's enemies, to deal with the Antichrist and the false prophet, to put them into the lake of fire, and to come and set up his kingdom as well as restoring the nation of Israel. I believe that verse 14 is anticipating that great chapter, and that verse 14, if you like, is a summary of that. That which will take place when Armageddon comes to an end. What does it say? "Thee shall make war this ungodly confederacy." The enemies of the Lord, what audacity to think that they can make war with the Lamb. "Thee shall make war with the Lamb, and the Lamb shall overcome them." Isn't that great? And it says, "For he is Lord of thee lords, and King of thee kings, and they that are with him," who are these that are with him? Angels? Well, I know, brethren, don't I? And bear in mind that the angels of his strength, the holy angels, will be with the Lord when he comes, and they'll accompany him. But I don't think angels are in view in verse 14. I don't think that those who come with the Lord in verse 14 at the second advent can be really described as angels who are called. Angels are not called. Angels are not chosen. Angels are not faithful in that sense. Who is this company who are called and chosen and faithful? What's going to happen in Revelation 19? The Lord is on the white horse, and in his train behind him, there are other white horses and the saints on them. I never could ride a horse. I don't know whether I feel like interpreting Revelation 19 as literal or not. Our brother talked about the horses, warfare and conflicts and so on. I agree with that. Horse going into battle. Well, whether they're real or not, we'll just leave that aside for the moment. Don't you be thinking about going to a riding school and getting in some practice. If it's real, you'll not fall off anyway. The Lord will see to that. Ah, true. And it is. You know, when the Lord comes forth with his wonderful army, he'll have no infantry. An army without an infantry. All be on horses. Here's an army with no infantry and an army with no weapons. Have you ever heard of an army with no weapons? The only weapon is the two-edged sword that proceeds out of the mouth of the Lord Jesus Christ. Isn't that great? Here's an army that don't have any camouflage. They all have white uniforms, by the way. They all have white uniforms, by the way. I haven't heard. Maybe you have heard of an army with white uniforms.
Their clothes and white garments glistening, clean and white, the righteous acts of the saints.
Wonderful.
We'll look pretty good then, won't we? Warfare's a dirty, dirty, dirty thing. But here's an army with no infantry, an army with no weapons, an army with no camouflage. Come before the Lord Jesus. And the outcome is assured. The Lord will gain the victory. He'll smash the foe like a potted vessel. And he'll set up his everlasting kingdom. Wonder of wonders? If you're saved, you're going to be there. And I'm saved, and I'm going to be there. As I said, we're going to come down the golden stairway of the sky with the Lord Jesus. We're going to visit him. We're going to form his train.
Tremendous, isn't it? Tremendous. When you come forth with the Lord Jesus Christ out of heaven, you'll have gone into heaven at the rapture first, and been in heaven for at least 7 years.
Am I right, brother?
At least 7 years.
Maybe a little bit more.
And then we're going to come out of heaven with the Lord Jesus. And we're going to reign with him.
Who is this one? Well, he's not the Lamb feeble, but he's the Lamb mighty. He's not the Lamb frightened, he's the Lamb wrathful. He's not the Lamb fed, he's the Lamb feeding. He's not the Lamb following, he's the Lamb followed. And he's not the Lamb fallen and slain and finished. He's the Lamb slain and victorious. God bless this. Little meditation. I've even transgressed 2 minutes. You'll have to give me great mercy. The Lord bless his word. We'll just briefly close in prayer.
Our God and Father, in the name of the Lord Jesus, we thank thee again for the joy of being together. We thank thee for fellowship around thy precious word. We thank thee for the assembly that thou hast planted here many years ago and preserved until this moment of time. We thank thee for every dear brother and sister that forms this assembly. And we thank thee for the exercise of the dear brethren to convene this conference weekend. And we pray that all may redound to the praise and glory of our Lord Jesus. We thank thee for our brethren that have ministered to us. We pray that as they will leave tomorrow, that thou wilt bless them and use them, if the Lord be not come in days to come. And we pray that thou wilt help us in the 4 nights of ministry. But we do especially bring before thee the gospel meeting tonight, and pray that there might be great power and a great sense of thy presence in the meeting, that thou wilt crown this weekend of conference gatherings with a precious soul won for the Lord Jesus. We ask these things and seek thy parting blessing in the Lord's name. Just to mention, I hope in the will of the Lord on Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday and Thursday to take up the life of Joseph. Lovely study, and do pray that God might bless this ministry. Thank you.